it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio, once again with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out our website, theantimedia.org, and all the other hosts, awesome hosts and journalists here on UCY.TV. And I'm joined here by my co-host DB Schwartz. How you doing tonight, man?
Hey, just trying to stay inside and stay in this filtered air I got going on with three air purifiers blasting, dude. It's just... It's eight fires. I think only one's contained right now, and it couldn't be a better way to highlight all of the global warming slash climate change going on. We're at ground zero, dude. We get chemtrailed all day, and now guess what? It's not working, obviously.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's really hitting me is that they shut down the 5 freeway earlier today, which is, you know, that's our main line between here in L.A.
Yep.
San Diego and L.A. is basically cut off. The 15 may be cut off. The 8 now there's a fire in Lakeside. The 8 may be. I mean, there's a chance here that we get cut off from the rest of the world. And anybody yep. that's not at least halfway prepared, I mean, we're talking like right now in this next coming week, you could be looking to the government to just try to bail you out. And you may be trying to go line up for these government issued food and government issued water if this fires continue. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, the weather forecast seems like it's just going to get a lot worse, it seems.
Yep. Historic drought started 3 years ago. We're still in the middle of it. I was doing some research today, and a lot of climatologists believe our best days climately are behind us because from 1977 and 99, we had like the wettest period in our country, and we had this unprecedented agricultural growth, and it was more or less a golden age. 2000 hits, and this drought starts, and it's not just a drought in our state. It's everywhere. It's the whole West. It's everything west of the Rockies, and it puts it all into jeopardy. Our water supply is already so crucially one-sided because we get it from the Colorado River that if ever there was a case to be made for a desalinization plant for us, it's today when we need water bad.
Yeah, and I mean, I just heard a bunch of fire trucks going by my place. Actually, when I was calling in, as the show was starting, we had a bunch of fire trucks going by and a bunch of ambulances and stuff. And I mean, we're basically surrounded. And if you guys want, I know a lot of you guys listening right now aren't in San Diego, but if you want to Google it just to check out what's going on, as of right now, we've got 8 fires going in San Diego County alone.
Actually, make that 9, Nick, because a brush fire just started your way.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so I mean we're going to be tested this week, and we're going to see, you know, what San Diego is capable of doing or capable of not doing. And I mean, like I was saying, man, I mean, there's a chance in a week or two if this thing continues and they shut down these freeways, just like we talk about on this show all the damn time. Right?
Yep.
We talk about it what do we do when the grid goes down? And guess what? Our freeway grid, our highway grid, our roads and all that stuff. It's about to. There's a chance that it can go down in a few minutes.
This is a perfect storm. Yeah, it's a perfect storm, and this is in a microcosm. Everything going on right now in the world, it's hitting us here. Like, it's showing that no matter what they purport to be able to do, as far as geoengineering goes, and as far as HAARP goes, and as far as reflecting the sunlight and preventing a warming situation goes, it's not happening. We're getting hit. We're getting hit hard. We're in a drought, and everything they're doing to prevent what's going on is not working. And then the Central Valley is about to dry out. The irrigation's becoming impossible, and that provides 50% of the produce for the country. So I don't know what people think's going to happen if we don't get water from the sea.
Yeah, and we're not getting the rain. And if we're not getting it from the sea, I mean, and that's the thing is right now, fortunately in San Diego, we still have kind of a low radiation rate compared to what they have in LA. You know, if we're getting water from the sea, the other thing we have to worry about is all this Fukushima radiation right now. So, I mean, it's kind of this double-edged sword. And we talked about it before. In the presence of energy, in the presence of electricity, we can kind of create water more or less out of thin air.
Yep.
And that's what we need to start working on, man, because if not, we're going to be stuck in this situation, kind of like we could possibly be in by the end of the week, where we're really, really wondering, are we going to be able to have water and food tonight if you're not prepared?
I mean, yeah, we've always known that we're like in New York City, and New York City is even in better off position than we are. We get everything pushed in here through the roads. I mean, the rails don't do much. We need the highways. I mean, so yeah, you're right. These things may already start. I mean, if they can't clear up 8-9 fires at a time, if it jumps the freeway, if it gets over into certain areas of the city that are extra, extra dry, it's a tinder keg. And it's the reason it's this way is because now we have mega droughts followed by mega wet seasons. Like we had those torrential downpours. And then what that does is all the seeds in the earth spur up and grow because they think there is abundant rainfall. And then they grow huge, and they die, and they create all this massive undergrowth and fuel for fires. So it's just it's almost going to become a natural part of our landscape as long as we continue to use fossil fuels. I think we're starting to see ourselves that this area has the 12th most carbon output in the world, just SoCal. So it's all the cars, and we're seeing the results of it right here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of... It's kind of like Mother Nature is mad at us, and it kind of knows that we're messing things up, and it's kind of like a rejection, man. It's like anything with nature. Nature always finds a way to overcome anything that's in its way with evolution, and I mean, for instance, with these GMO crops, how the bugs are becoming resistant to these GMOs and all this stuff. And in my opinion, it's kind of like the Earth just saying, "Hey, look, guys, stop screwing with me. And if not, we're gonna start giving you this very, very extreme climate. You're cutting down too many trees. We're gonna send you this climate, and it's gonna wipe out a bunch of people, and make your lives miserable. And hopefully, you get the clue. Stop messing with us. Stop messing with me. You know."
And it's so avoidable too. We harp on it all the time. Harp is actually a funny word even to use, but. You know, we say it, like, everything going on right now is going to culminate in some kind of asinine carbon tax, which they're then going to use to just further enrich themselves, and they're going to give over the solar grid to the Chinese because we owe them so much money, and we're going to be screwed over. So the question is, are you going to get onto the solar grid bandwagon, so to speak, before it's rammed down your throat at a point of a gun and be early adopters? If our country gets on this individually from free market, it'll crush out that opportunity by China. They're going to have to find some other way to swindle us out of what they consider a debt.
Hey, we got a caller on. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio. What do you want to talk about?
Hello?
Okay, maybe the caller isn't on. Or maybe they were just calling in to listen to the show. A lot of that happens a lot of times. No worries.
There you go.
Yeah, I think we're getting to this point now where we've done a lot of things to this planet, and we've been very greedy with it. We've just been eating like a damn. We've been pigs. We've been pigs for the past couple hundred years. And I think, you know, whether you want to call it climate change or climate disruption or whatever it is, definitely I believe it's partially man-made. And whether it's from the carbon we're putting up in there or not, or whether it's just from cutting down too many trees or extracting too much water or taking out too much oil, whatever it is that we're doing, polluting the ocean or whatever, you know, we're causing big problems, and we're seeing this just extreme climate. I mean, we saw in the East they had one of the most record-breaking winters of all time with all this snow and all this ice and all this rain and all this stuff. And my buddies during the winter, you know, everyone was complaining about this winter. I had some buddies down in Australia, and they were like, dude, just wait till you get the summertime. You're really going to not like that. And sure enough, I mean, look, it's springtime right now here in San Diego, and you know, and we're getting the fire season, which we don't normally get until the fall, and it's already here. I mean, just think about how bad the summer's going to be if it's springtime and we're already getting the fall, fire season.
We can only hope it's going to burn out all the fuel right now, and that we don't have to worry about it. The most crazy thing is that despite everything going around, our governor, Governor Brown, still is giving the go-ahead and not taking a moratorium on fracking. We don't need, if we frack here and destroy our groundwater with all of our other problems, this is just, I can't even imagine what could happen here on a public health level. I think everybody kind of knows how fragile this area is, and it's being used maybe as a test bed. I can only imagine what could happen if something happened here with fracking and all these wildfires. It's ridiculous. We got to get off oil here because everybody drives. We got to get off it now because it's destroying everything around us.
And like you were saying, the Central Valley is drying up. Well, guess where their main fracking grounds are at? That's the main place that they want to do the fracking. So they're going to take the water that we use for all of our irrigation, for all of our crops and stuff, and they want to take that and drain that out to use it for fracking. That's why California, it has such a strong anti-fracking movement, is because we understand, look, we already don't have enough water, and you guys are going to come use all this water for all this fracking? No, thank you. You know, and I remember when I posted, when I went to that anti-fracking protest up in Sacramento where I got ticketed for smoking weed on the Capitol, you know, I had a few friends on Facebook that said, hey, I love fracking. Fracking's great, this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, well, maybe in a place where it's completely isolated and you're not ruining people's groundwater and putting methane into people's taps and drying up all their groundwater, then maybe you could do it in a place where there's no people. But here in California, where we have not enough water as it is, and you want to do it in the most fertile agricultural grounds in the country, no thank you. We don't need that.
Well, and you have to look at it now as having a sinister motive, because any kind of long-term pollution will permanently affect food production. It seems like these guys are picking the absolute worst spaces. When I heard that they were fracking in Wyoming, I had to question the sanity of these guys, knowing that Yellowstone could be caused to erupt if a pressure were to build up by pumping some kind of solvent into a certain vein underground. I mean, that's how the Earth works. It's like a body, and it has these crevices and caves, and they're all pressurized. These guys are absolutely insane. If we really absolutely have to have oil so bad that we have to frack ourselves, then we need to have a paradigm shift quickly, because we're going to ruin our ecosystem and our groundwater. And once you do that, there's no going back. I mean, people haven't really heard it yet, but the island of Honshu in Japan is kind of gone. I mean, if the water table, they had to melt through and it melts out down into the water table, they're done. Nothing you can do. And the same thing with fracking here. How could you clean it up?
Yeah. You know, it's one of these things where if you don't catch it before it starts, it may kind of be too late to catch. It may be too late to reverse, too late to fix, because you've already done this damage. Now, we see in Arkansas, I believe it was, where they've halted all fracking because they've realized that the fracking is what's causing all these earthquakes. Now, how often do you hear about earthquakes in Arkansas? Well, before the last few years, you never heard about earthquakes in Arkansas. But now there is, because of all this fracking, and it's causing all these small earthquakes, and then it's making them think that there could be a big earthquake now. I mean, these guys are almost creating new fault lines. And they're doing things to the earth that the earth isn't doing naturally. I mean, it's just another way that we're trying to play God, and we're rearranging the earth, and who knows what the hell the recourse is going to be in the long run, in a few years from now, 10 years, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. Who knows what all this fracking is going to cause in the long run, and it could very well ruin all of our groundwater, for all we know.
And the thing is that they have the tech to do this, but not the tech to clean it up if there's a problem. And it's similar to the way that BP couldn't even handle a spill in the open water because they couldn't get a submersible down there. They can't fix Fukushima because they don't know how to make concrete not go in at the wrong angle or something underwater, even though I know that they can just dump something on there, like a polymer that'll fit right in. These guys say they can't fix it, but they can make it, and they can't run a power plant, especially a nuclear one, without cutting corners, or they make no profit. So we're run by madmen, and people go along willingly. I mean, thank goodness San Onofre shut down. Could you imagine there was a fire right up there today? And what if it melt through the cooling line and we had a meltdown in San Onofre? That could have been possible had it not been shut down.
Yeah, and you're right, man. The fire is going right up there, right by that nuclear power plant. And, it actually still has to be cooled because, you know, it takes a long time for these things to be cooled. So, I mean, that it could still be a threat to us. Because you can't just shut down a power plant and then it's gone and a year later. It takes 10 years, 20 years to cool these things down, you know, so they're constantly having to continue to run these water pumps, these cooling pumps and all this stuff. And, I mean, that's still a threat. And, this whole nuclear stuff, I mean, the way that they've gone about doing it, I mean, they've built all these nuclear, power plants on all these fault lines on the coast. And look what Fukushima's doing, poisoning the whole Pacific. So they didn't think this stuff out right, you know. They didn't think it out at all. They didn't have it in an isolated place where if there was a meltdown, it wouldn't cause that much pollution or whatever. They're in these places where if it does happen, it's going to screw a lot of people up. And just think of all the birth defects and everything that people are in Japan are going to get, people on the West Coast are going to get and are already starting to get.
Right.
I mean, these people, they don't take into consideration the long run, you know, the ramifications of all these easy energy tactics and stuff like this fracking with nuclear energy and all these fossil fuels. Yeah, it's convenient energy and it's easy to use, easy to transfer, but in the long run we're causing probably a lot more problems than we really should be. And what we're doing is we're releasing a lot more of these greenhouse gases into the air, which the earth obviously at one point in time had to correct. And it buried all this stuff underground, all this old vegetation and all this stuff that was down there before, because it was causing too much of a problem, and the earth itself buried this stuff underground one way or another. And now we're extracting it and throwing it back up into the atmosphere, and so the earth is like, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to do something about that.
And they will, and it is. An ice sheet's melting that's the size of a country, and when that completely thaws out and melts, it releases huge amounts of trapped carbon. I mean, it's a carbon bomb. It's like equal to Keystone XL's carbon bomb, where these just massive, massive amounts will just be released. And then correspondingly, the Earth's going to increase precipitation everywhere, which will more or less make heat move around. And it heats it up. And then ultimately, the jet stream is going to just cool everything down. We'll go into a mini ice age. What we're doing is we're speeding up a process that usually takes 1,000 years, maybe, into something that took 300, because the last mini ice age was in the 1700s, and now we're at the precipice of one again. This is kind of the eye of the storm, and when the storm actually does hit, it's going to be the Earth responding with massive cold, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sickness that we've got, and it's not any other animal. It's not the damn polar bears causing it. It's not the sharks causing it. It's not the lions or anything like that. It's us. And we've got our own sickness, dude. We've got this materialistic sickness and this thirst for more that we've always got to have more and more and more and more stuff and more things and more plastic and more petroleum and more energy and all this stuff. And that'd be fine if we had unlimited energy, if we were on the Tesla tech, if the government had it suppressed it. But unfortunately, in order to extract all this energy that we're trying to use, and now with China expanding rapidly, they've got to get a bunch of coal, a bunch of fracking, all these things. And unfortunately, you know, the solar powered stuff is still, now it's more efficient where it's actually worth doing it, but it's still not like as cost effective as fossil fuels. But I think we're getting to that point, that precipice, well, where the breakthroughs are coming, where we're going to have these really good, cheap solar paneling and solar collecting stuff that we could all use at a reasonable price.
And if they're beneficiaries of a $4 billion a year subsidy, just like fossil fuels are, especially oil, then they'll easily make up the technological gap. It's just the problem is that the old ways are set in place, the infrastructure is built, the profits keep piling in, they keep raising prices, and people keep going to the pump and keep buying cars that run on gas, and I'm no different. And we're not making these early adopter leaps to Leafs and to Volts in record enough numbers to get it going or putting panels on our roofs. And we need to. We have to do it. We have to subsidize this. The government needs to subsidize this instead of subsidizing the old way, the old paradigm. But the thing is, see, they're afraid of that because we know once we go to the sun energy economy, their power's over. What do they have left? All their wars are gone. So when there's no more wars for resource, there's no more need for government.
Yeah, and that's what they're so scared of, man. They don't want us to have this open source energy stuff. They don't want everybody producing their own energy. Then how the hell are they going to control everybody? If you got your own energy, you can produce your own water, you can grow your own food. So they don't want people doing that.
And
so
if everyone's on their own grids, it's over. The centralized government is gone tomorrow if we get into the new house of the future today.
And this kind of slides us right into this first big story here with Ukraine. We've been talking about how Ukraine is nothing but a proxy war over resources. Well, we went ahead and sealed the deal by putting Joe Biden's son in as a damn board member of Ukraine's biggest gas producer.
Department of Justice says that there's nothing fishy about it at all.
No, nothing fishy at all, even though Joe Biden was over there shilling for this deal the whole time. And there's documents that show that Joe Biden was pushing this gas deal through. Yep. And in the leak from Victoria Nuland, they talked about Joe Biden coming through and all this stuff. Joe Biden's been playing, you know, the vice president essentially is kind of a symbolic role in the U.S. government, but that's not to say that he doesn't do his own amount of shilling. And so they sent Biden over to Ukraine to make all the crony backdoor deals and all this stuff. And sure enough, his son is now the guy helping run their biggest gas conglomerate, which is probably government-run, government-owned, you know, completely state-controlled. And now it's probably leveraged on the central bank as well. So Biden's son's job may be to go in there and just bankrupt this thing because they want this shit to they want the central bankers to be able to take over the gas monopoly, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, it's a sealed deal. Like, the country got cut in half. The only thing that's going on right now is there are cooler heads going to prevail among our leadership, or are we going to allow the people that are war-hawking to spoil for a fight and get Putin to bite on it, and then we go in and have a real one in Ukraine, and then it spreads, and it'll spread into the Middle East and probably into our realm in the Pacific because... Well, as long as we're occupied, China will probably go ahead and attack Japan and when they know we're already doing our own thing in the Ukraine. So you can see everything popping off. This is how World War II, it started to see the pieces take place with different countries getting ready to go at each other at different times over the world. It's going to be pandemonium. So the question is, do we want to keep buying into that? Because when we go to the pump, that's why this is happening. There's $2 trillion of resources in the Ukraine. The Bidens just became a billionaire family for sure, and there'll be more made. There'll be trillionaires probably made out of this whole exploitation going on right now. On both sides, mind you. It's just the people that are in Ukraine that woke up one day and found out two superpowers are fighting over their shale oil and their natural gas deposits. Well, they're just kind of stuck in the middle now. 45 million people.
Yeah, man, and unfortunately, all 45 million of these guys are basically going to be victim of either us or Russia.
Or the neo-Nazi psychopaths that are in there now. I mean, now the citizenry themselves are starting to say, hey, look, if Mexico can get their guns and have their Second Amendment and take it by force to protect themselves, we're going to have to do it from these sickos because these guys are killing now indiscriminately Jews. They're killing anybody that doesn't fit their mold. Of Ukrainian and neo-Nazi, dude. It's ridiculous.
Well, these guys are a direct line from the old Nazi regime. These guys fought alongside the Nazis when they swept into Ukraine when they were going against Russia back in the day.
Yep.
I mean, these are classic nationalist Ukrainian anti-Russian people that see have a lot more commonality with the Nazi ideology than they do with the communist ideology. And just like when we were financing these Al-Qaeda-affiliated people in Ukraine, just like we still are, you know, once again, we're out here financing these neo-Nazis who everyone in the U.S. despises. Everybody hates Nazis. But now anyone that says, oh, yeah, well, anyone like us that says, hey, wait, there's neo-Nazis in that new government. Oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Come on.
It's proven that listen, nothing going on in the world can really be hidden. The problem is that what Hitler used, when you tell a lie and tell a big one and tell it enough, people believe it and they go into a Stockholm syndrome type of thing with this cognitive dissonance. It's going on worldwide everywhere, but some countries are waking up faster than others. People need to understand this is really going on. They're having fake wars for resources because any country like us, China, Russia, anywhere in Western Europe, anywhere that's got first world technology and resources, we can be off of this paradigm, this fossil fuel grid right now and set the template for the rest of the world. We should only be using oil and stuff like that for like heating and for airplanes, and that's about it. Everything else should be running on electricity.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. What we need is a worldwide independence movement, a worldwide self-reliance, autonomous movement, man, where everybody says, look, we're all going to govern ourselves locally and self-govern, and then we're going to have global communications and universal energy and universal internet and things like that. I mean, these are the future that we're going towards. It could be really, really light. Really bright, really dark, you know, we could have this situation now where we got 85 people that are in control of all the resources. They become in control of all the robots and all the computers and all the things that are going to take all the jobs away. Or we can have it where it's universally owned and everybody benefits from all these robots and everybody benefits from all this technology and all the essential stuff is taken care of. And then we could focus on a bunch of intellectual stuff, creative stuff, scientific stuff. And, you know, I think we talk about that pretty often, man. Like, escaping, yep. Eventually we got to turn our sights outside of this planet instead of just turning all these cameras and surveillance on us. I mean, we should be looking out into the abyss.
Well, something's keeping us stuck. The thing that's keeping us stuck is that any race that can move itself off of its own planet is already here. And they've been watching, and there's a consortium, and they're not going to allow some, you know, hybrid ape man to get off of its planet and spread like a disease all over the place if we haven't evolved to the point where we're not fighting each other. That's the thing. That's the mark of a lower life form on the totem pole, that you're annihilating each other. We're the same species and yet we fight. So there's not many species in the animal kingdom that have wars. I think there's only like maybe a couple, and most of them are in the insect kingdom. And they can't be considered wars. They're just territorial disputes over food sources. So we're at the point where we're way past that. This is the illusion of scarcity. We know it. We can prove it. But people aren't buying into it because why? I don't know. I have no clue why people don't get it. And I guess, like we always say all the time, the templates need to be formed. The blueprints need to be formed so people don't feel like they're walking off a cliff. And they know that life will go on more or less like it has been going on, but we just need to push ourselves into this next technological leap through.
Yeah, maybe not so much at an individual level. I may not agree with Bundy or whatever. But I think this thing coming up on Friday, Operation American Spring, it's going to be in Washington, D.C. These militia guys are trying to oust all these politicians and I don't know. I guess they're trying to flex their muscle because of the whole perceived victory at the whole Bundy Ranch thing. So I'm interested to see how this thing turns out. You know, it's hard to say what's going to happen and how it's all going to play out or whatever. Just because we saw what happened with these militias about the Bundy Ranch and all that. So if they're able to, you know, deal with this confrontation, get in this confrontation with all these bureaucrats and stuff, if these militiamen could kind of, you know, take control of D.C. and like they plan on doing and actually put the citizens' arrest on Obama and all these politicians, I want to see what's going to happen. I'm guessing there's going to be some fireworks. I advise anybody that's listening to the show that's planning on going out there this Friday to this American Spring event, make sure you go out there with some caution, know what you're getting into, be prepared, and if you do go, make sure you report back and let us know what happened, let us know what's going on, how it went, because if it does happen, of course the mainstream is going to be spinning it in all kinds of different directions and all that stuff. So we if anyone listening does go out to this thing, let's call us up and let's try to get some direct info and see what actually is going on over there.
Oh, absolutely. It could be monumental, it could fizzle. I think that people are starting to get it. There's starting to be a clarion call among, you know, what we even saw at United We Stand Festival is that there's this counterculture raising up right now. Like, I think your best quote you said was, Lee Camp's like the next George Carlin. So our generation has that coming up. We have this 60s thing coming up, and this time the time for action will be here because we're not going to be sitting around chanting kumbaya in parks and having super cheap gas and great food like they did in the 60s. Now we're in an imploded economy and we realize why and what to do, how to fix it. But we got to get everyone on board. The more people that keep on this old system, they're just in the way of what needs to take place.
Yeah, I definitely see a tide rising in L.A. at the United We Stand Fest. I really felt it when I was on stage and I was able to connect with the audience, and I can really tell that the people are kind of at this point. We're ready. You know, we're ready because the people like us, we've done our jobs and we've spread the awareness, we've spread these ideas, and we've talked about what's wrong. Now it's time to start showing what's right, and we've talked about this before with the solutions and bringing about better ideas and things like that, and I think that's really the stage that we're at. You know, and I just want to encourage everyone listening, like, look, if you got an idea and you think it could be good, and if you think it's going to get you more self-reliant, or you think it's going to help other people, by all means, like, get out there and do it now. Do it, like, ASAP, because if you don't, then guess what? The people that are around you aren't going to do it either. The people that you know aren't going to do it either. The people that you're friends with on social media aren't going to see that you're doing it, aren't going to be inspired to do it either. You know, so if you got these ideas, or you've got an idea that you want to try out, or you think you know something that can help people, I mean, by all means, get it done, like, ASAP. And if you don't got the money, start crowdfunding it. And if you don't got the resources, turn to your social media networks and try to see if you can get people together. I mean, the only thing in this world that is truly indestructible our ideas. And of course, men are very fallible. Men could easily die. Men could easily be corrupted. But ideas remain pure, and they live on no matter what. And no army can stop them. No wall can stop them. No jail or prison can stop them. So if you got these ideas, put them out there. If they fail or not, doesn't matter, because then you learn from it. If you fail, if it works, it works. Other people start using it. I mean, it's all about these ideas. It's all about building the new paradigm. So if you got any ideas about moving forward, or if you know people that do, work with them, help them out. Try these ideas out. Start gardens, start community gardens, and all these things, because that's our only way out of this mess. And if we keep trying to vote our way out of this mess, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, stop playing their game. I mean, this whole pre-2016 circus going on with Hillary already, and maybe Obama being pushed out because him hiring an impeachment lawyer kind of points to where he thinks his political career is about to go. So, yeah, all this stuff's out, man. People can't hide it. and we know it's going to happen, and she'll probably be eased in as an emergency type, and she'll get a 10-year reign. We don't want a 10-year reign of somebody that they can say, if you go against what she says, you're a sexist, you're misogynist because you don't respect her as a woman, just like you thought you didn't respect Obama's policies because of his skin color. It's just ridiculous. It's what they're setting up. We can't fall for it. We can't fall for it at all. We have to get off of this, and state rights need to be paramount. We need to really knock the Fed down to as little as we can possibly do. When I hear about like the Postal Service going broke, good. How about all these agencies that go broke stop getting funded? How about they just shrink down to the only things that really can run themselves, and everything else can be taken care of by people in the community? We don't need central oversight.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, most of these things are considered like too big to fail, and most people are kind of brainwashed into thinking that we need these things, even though we already have other options and stuff. And I don't know, man. It's kind of one of these big it's one of these big hurdles that we need to get past. You know, it's kind of one of these hurdles that we need to realize. Look, you know, this whole Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain idea that was shown to us back in the day by all these brilliant people that made these books and wrote these books and did these movies like Wizard of Oz, you know, they pointed it right out to us. Look, not everything is as it seems. All these people that you think are big and powerful, they're just regular average Joes just like you and me. They've got their own problems. They've got their own egos. They've got their own downfalls. And unfortunately, we're all duped into this thing because of this whole psychological war. We're all duped into believing and buying into this whole thing, and I think that's where we need to really break away. And the only way to do it is not only by spreading this information and talking about the solutions, but creating them.
Yeah, and we got to understand that what we're living in is the end days of the 50s. The 50s consumerism model has steadily declined as resources have been expunged and people have basically quintupled the population of this country. And now we're at a point where we're at a crossroads and they want to do a global reset. Now, I was reading something today earlier that said in 1950, the average guy made $50 an hour equivalent and he worked a manufacturing job. Today, the average person makes about $13 an hour. That you cannot live on that. And we have people that are, you know, they're at poverty level. They're accepting food stamps. They're buying massively GMO'd staple crops from Walmart, which is indeed shipping off more and more money for crappy goods from China. I mean, you can see this cycle we're in. We need to break free of it, and it's not so hard to do. When we have a solar panel and a 3D printer, are you ever going to go to Target again? Are you ever going to go to the gas station again? I mean, can you grow most of your own food? It's just these massive changes are right on the doorstep, and they're fighting them so hard and trying to distract us and get a war going, because once they're implemented, it's game over.
I was over at my buddy's place. I think I talked about it last show, this guy with this idea about this Bit Congress and all this stuff. He also had a 3D printer that he made, and he was making stuff on a 3D printer right there too. And I was able to see how it's done, man, and it's pretty awesome. I mean, you can pretty much print anything out that you need. And then the cool thing is, like, let's say you needed a hammer. Let's say you need a hammer to nail down some nails, and you could print out a hammer, use it, and then you throw it back in this machine. The machine melts it back down, and then you could reprint it into something else. You don't got any waste. You know what I'm saying? It just keeps being reused and reused. I mean, it's a direct recycling system. It's a on-demand manufacturing, so you never print more than you need. You get an order, okay, I need five of these. Okay, you only print five. You don't need to print 500 and then just hope they sell. Hope they sell. And then you don't have all this waste and all this, you know, bureaucracy, and then you have to discount it and all this stuff, distribute it and all these things. I mean, this whole thing with this 3D printing kind of cuts all that stuff out of the equation.
It does. It creates this cottage industry. We're going to go back to it. I mean, when oil becomes unpalatable and only the people with the foresight to have gotten electric vehicles are the only ones left on the roads, people are going to work from home. And the 3D printer is going to allow you to do things like, well, get really good in CAD and develop things and print them out and ship them out worldwide. There's going to be all these new just ways for people to make money, and it's all going to be decentralized. And they're trying so hard to fight it. I think we talked last time also about quantum internet. Quantum internet's a reality. Tesla showed that there's an energy field all around us. Energy can be used to transfer information. So, like, they're not going to be able to do much to stifle that either. There's just all these things on the forefront, and it's got to be freaky because the control's about to be cut off and spread out to everyone who has the ability to make it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, this dog and pony show thing, this two-party system, all these bureaucrats are trying to clamp down on this stuff. They want it to stop. They want Bitcoin to stop. They want all this decentralizing ideas to stop, the quantum internet. You know, they're trying to clamp down on the internet and take away all this net neutrality. And, you know, the way that humans work and the way life in general works, and to me, the more I've been thinking about it, it's kind of like a universal law throughout the universe, and it's kind of like this law of evolution, where when things get bad, you get smart. When it's like that saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I mean, it's completely true. When things get bad, people start to get very, very innovative with things. And I think Bitcoin and all this stuff is just it's a direct reaction to the Fed and all the things that the monetary system is doing. The monetary system is exploiting people. All these money systems, Western Union, PayPal, and all this stuff, how they jack people for way too much money.
And the granddaddy is the Fed, of course, because every dollar that you earn is actually probably worth about 9 cents, and maybe even less than that. What physical assets would ever cover it? What happened if the dollar died and everybody's like, wait, I'm going to work and I can't buy food. What are you going to do for me? Oh, don't worry. Come down to the camp. That's not going to fly. They know this already. And you can't keep devaluing a currency and then all of a sudden pull on your populace. Hey, you're worth nothing now. And we're going to go ahead and take, I don't know, 80% of what's in your bank. Whatever's left of the crumbs, good luck. These things have happened in the past. To try to pull them now is an asinine notion. It can only be used by force. And then to do that, you have to convince some massive foreign army, because the troops won't do it, to come in here and just pretty much cow the populace with whatever means necessary. It's a massive undertaking. They've been planning it forever, and now they're going to try to implement it. And the thing is, just keep calm, chill out, have food, have water, grow stuff, be okay, and protect your family. And let these crazy people go out, and you know, stuff will happen to them, but we got to keep calm as a country. If we fall into chaos, the rest of the world will follow.
We're living through it right now in San Diego, kind of, you know, with this whole fire situation. And I just looked on Drudge, and it's one of the top stories on Drudge. I looked on Google, it's one of the top stories on Google. Because this is pretty, it's big. We're not used to getting these fires at these times. And now for me, being that I've been kind of slightly preparing for things, and I've got a couple gardens growing. I got my aquaponic system right there with a couple tomatoes ready to eat right now. I got like a pound of kale out there. I got a pound of lettuce ready to go. I'm not that worried because, you know, if they do shut down all the freeways and the food does get cut off and the prices skyrocket, well, then I'm going to go out to my garden and start eating my food.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not that worried about it. But a lot of the people around here and a lot of people in this city and of course all over the world, I mean, unfortunately, they're just not at that level, and that's where we need to try to get everybody, our friends, our family, and the people that we care about, and then our community afterwards, to get decentralized, because then there isn't going to be this frenzy when the thing comes down, when the monetary system comes down, when there's a dollar crisis. There is no frenzy. Nobody cares. Everybody's already made their own, they've already made their own arrangements, they've already made their own agreements, and they're already taking care of each other. And the communities, every community should be able to take care of itself. And if your community can't take care of itself, then you got something wrong. And you're not thinking right, you're not doing something right. Or you're just being propagated by these big corporations and these big government.
Exactly. And then we let them make these the lowest common denominator decisions for everything. This is how... people do that. Why don't we have micro farms everywhere? I mean, this is just the better way to do it. Plus, they need to really be hydroponic and indoor to get this chemtrail crap off them, because you can't wash it off, really. And it's going into our water supply because they're just geoengineering and it's worthless, like that shows us today. So, yeah, man, we got to decentralize everywhere. And honestly, monopoly is horrible. When people look at a Fortune 50 company, that's killing innovation. That's killing jobs. It's not helping. And even if you do have to be global to be competitive on a global level, people need to get that it's not good for anyone. When we all compete instead of cooperate, this is where we're at. And we need to be a resource-based economy now and share everything worldwide for free.
Yeah, and you know, the right always likes to talk about how, like, oh, without capitalism, we would never have cell phones. You know, we'd just have brick phones and stuff. Well, right. You know, in a way, they're right, because innovation in the marketplace causes causes new ideas and stuff. Now, here's the thing, though, is that these mega corporations, they stifle innovation. That's all they do. What does Apple do? What does Google do? What do all these companies do? Samsung and all these companies. All they do is buy patents, and they try to shut down people's technology. They buy up patents. They buy up these startup firms that have all these cool ideas and all these patents, and they shut down the technology, and then they sue anybody that tries to take it. That's all they do now. They don't even invent stuff. Apple doesn't invent that much stuff. They just bring on new startups, and then they incorporate that startup into their new product. Right. So they're not exactly the greatest innovators, and I think we can kind of see. It's kind of showing on our society. We're not in an innovative society anymore. We're not in an entrepreneurial an entrepreneurial friendly society. We're in a bureaucratic friendly society and a corporatist friendly society.
We're in a serfdom. We live inside of a virtual serfdom that's kept in check with bread and circus nonstop. When those things end, they'll go to a military dictatorship or whatever else they need to stifle any kind of rebellion. Now, the thing is, we're losing to China because China pirates and everything's open source, and they don't mercilessly just attack their own self-interests like we do. They have a 1.4 billion, I read now. I heard they crossed that threshold. So now they're at 1.4 billion people that are inside of, their own firewall, but everything you could think of is pirated, traded, and given away for free, and they're ripping us off. And what can they do about it? Oh, increase spying on us, increase anti-piracy laws on us, and let these guys get away with murder, and we're losing. We probably have already lost the global race. They just haven't let us know yet. You just can't beat 1.4 billion people with unfettered access to everything.
Yeah, our government already lost. Now, if it's up to governments, and this system stays in power for another 10, 15 years, guess what? We're going to end up fighting China.
Yep.
And now the thing is that the way we can save ourselves is by putting to use these new ideas where we say, look, we don't need government. And if these ideas catch on enough, then that idea will catch fire in China too. And then China will be able to say, you know what, we don't need our government either. Us 1.4 billion people can rule ourselves. And it kind of sounds like a scary idea, but what's even scarier is having a giant centralized government that has unlimited power.
You can't, I mean, people can't allow this to happen. It's going to go against all of their self-interests. Anybody has to understand that. Like, even people over there, they'll uprise if given the chance. You know, the thing is, like, you just can't allow these globalists to manipulate nationalist sentiment into big, big wars. We have to become friends with Chinese people, you know, through Skype and other things, and Russian people, too. All these great powers, our citizens should be correlating between each other and preventing wars on a level that they can't get to, which is interpersonal relationships. We can do it, like cultivate friends in those countries and make social connections and look for activists over there, because they really do exist, especially in Russia now because of this whole Ukrainian debacle, this big uprising starting. You know, Putin can't crack down on everyone.
Oh, and yeah, he's been, you know, Putin's been cracking down on people. I got friends in Pakistan that I have on Facebook that are activists. I got friends in all corners of the world, man, and the people are out there. And the people are, they're in Africa, they're in Australia, they're in New Zealand, they're in Canada, they're in Mexico, they're everywhere. And the people in general are tired of it. Mexico's got a huge, huge autonomous movement going on, man, and it's being completely disregarded by the mainstream because the mainstream doesn't want us seeing it and catching ideas. They don't want us seeing, like, oh, wow, there's autonomous people, there's autonomous areas in Mexico where the government doesn't rule. There's no government, and these people rule from an autonomous basis, from the community level. Wow, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, because they don't want you to know that. And they don't want you to know that the people have taken up arms in Mexico against the government and against these drug cartels. And they're starting to stand up for their power. They're starting to stand up for themselves. And guess what? Those communities are doing pretty damn well.
Yep. And we can decentralize with technology. Why do we have guys that physically go to Washington, D.C. to represent me and you? Why don't they do everything virtually, stay in their communities, have to be accountable for things they do, cannot escape from us? These are things that could be done.
Well, because they can't do backdoor deals in their hometowns. Because right. Lobbyists aren't going to fly out to every town in the country.
Exactly.
They got to fly them all into D.C. where all the power is centralized, and one lobbyist can go tap 20 different congressmen.
So we gotta put in a new bill to get rid of them their travel on our funds. It'll come out of their own pocket. There's a lot of things we can do to just ruin this system legally, and use our massive class action lawsuits together. And there's no lawyer in the world that would want to represent even 10,000 people if they had a legitimate claim. And we all have legitimate claims. We all do as American citizens against the way things are going. We can start breaking the system down crack by crack.
Yeah, man. And, it's like these guys want to keep this system so centralized because then it's easily controlled. Then the corporate interests can take it over. And if we got to this system where we were voting by phone and it was more transparent, then guess what? All the power is gone for all these idiots, and all their positions are gone. My buddy, this guy, I mean, anyone listening, Google this idea called BitCongress, and it's based on this advanced Bitcoin technology, which is almost unbreakable. Apparently, they're using this technology to crypto code nuclear bombs so people can't hack into nukes and stuff. And this stuff is basically unbreakable technology. And from what this guy was telling me that I met is that sooner or later this technology is going to replace governments, it's going to replace CEOs, it's going to replace board members, it's going to replace union bosses, it's going to replace all these positions within government, man. And it's for them it's very scary. For us it's exciting. And the way I look at it is it's just like this whole thing with Vermont and this GMO labeling, how Vermont is officially the first state that's going to require GMO labeling this summer. And it's like once this idea comes in and we establish this BitCongress idea, whether it's at a union or whether it's at a company or whether it's in a small town government, city council, and we replace the city council with technology – once we get it done in one place, it's going to start catching fire because people are going to see how awesome this idea is by cutting out all this bureaucracy.
Yep, and you know what they hate about having a government run by an algorithm? It's too logical. It does the best for the most people. You can't centralize wealth and power, really, because that doesn't make any sense for efficiency and for advancement. And those are the prime directives of any government. What is the most efficient way I can provide the most stuff for the most people and continue to do so and advance sustainably? That's it. That's all we need out of government. Everything else is private interests that kills the group collective. It makes competition, it kills cooperativism, and it keeps us stuck on this planet with these psychopaths making fake wars. And that's where we're at.
Fake wars, fake money, fake propaganda, fake divides.
Fake food, fake vaccines, fake air, fake trees. Where are we going to stop it? Where is it going to be back to what it used to be? Why can't we all live in Costa Rica right now?
Exactly, man. I was down in Mexico today, and I went down to Tijuana. I took Derek Bros. I've been hanging out with Derek Bros. He's down in San Diego.
Nice.
And I took him down to Tijuana today, and we chilled out down there, and just were able to see, you know, the situation down there, man. And it's an eye opening situation, man, because the wealth divide down there is even greater than we have here, and the amount of people that are poor living in these basically in these favela type areas down in Mexico, where you just have these whole valleys full of houses that are made out of pallets and tires and things like that. You know, they don't have any kind of plumbing. They don't have electricity. They're just living in these things just to keep the rain off and the sun off their backs. And it's just crazy to see. And it's just right. It's just 10 miles away from where I live.
Right.
You know, and to see the failure, the utter failure of the state, the utter failure of government. And mind you, in Mexico, the people have been disarmed. They've been removed of all of their firearms years and years ago. And sure enough, once the firearms were removed, that's when the drug cartels started getting real big. And that's when the government started getting very, very corrupt. Because then the populace was basically helpless. What the people in Mexico can't really do anything now unless they are able to mobilize, you know, 100,000 people at once, and then it's unstoppable. And that's the only time we see these big protests down in Mexico, and we see these autonomous movements, is because the total population of these certain areas become aware, and they're just like, all right, we're done. Everybody just decides we're done all at the same time, and they just do it.
Yes, and it'll come here. They're going to try to disarm us by force, and they will go door to door, and something will happen, and people will storm police things like what's going on in Albuquerque, but they're going to come with their toys. This is what they've been given tanks for, man, this exact scenario. Okay, so the thing is, I hope that law enforcement gets that no matter what happens, whether or not the people are subdued or not, they are going to be put in the exact same bucket as all of the citizens, as useless eaters. They need to get it into their mind. If they're not fighting for us, they're automatically gone anyway, and so are their families. If they think they're any different to the people at the top, and they're just, it's like, what was it Brzezinski said, that men in the military are beasts of burden. That's how they're going to see you. You're a tool. You're actually probably worse than the people that you're enforcing these laws upon, because you've been so easily programmed by them. So this is what's going to come down to, and we can't let that happen. Now, thank goodness Mexico's doing this stuff, because if they're strong, if they take back their country, if they become a full-fledged republic again, that example will come up north.
Yeah, man, and I think it already is. And I've read some reports of guys from kids from San Diego. You know, we got these oppressed Hispanic youth from San Diego, and they're dipping out, and they're saying, you know what, screw this, we're going to go fight with these autonomous movements. And these guys are going down there joining these militias and helping these guys defend their land, bro, because it's become the kind of this thing where now it's like the cool thing to do. You know what I mean? So it's become like, oh, like, they're going against the government, they're going against the cartels, like, we want to be part of that movement. People are going down there and joining up, even if they're not from there. They're like, dude, we want to stand with you, we want to fight with you. And that's kind of the nature of how things happen, and it's kind of like what happened in the first revolution here in this country, when they started going up against the British. Now, at the beginning, there was only, what, 3% to 3%, and then 10% of the people that were actually willing to fight against the British. But yep. Sooner or later, as they started making these victories and stuff, it started becoming the cool position to have. And it all comes back to this whole psychological, informational warfare where they try to demonize everybody on one side. But sooner or later, all that demonization and stuff, it starts falling on deaf ears. And
it's already there.
Yeah, exactly. We're already there. Propaganda, all this mainstream media jargon, it's falling on deaf ears. The people are turning to new alternatives and stuff. And I think that we're on the very edge right now of what could be either a complete renaissance, a global enlightenment, or just a global oligarchy, a global dictatorship, a global fascism. And we're really at the crossroads right now.
It's not going to go there. And the reason you can see is because if it were to go that route, they would have already fully enforced it with the drone army they have built. Something's holding it back. And I think what happened is, like we've always surmised, there's been a split at the top. And I mean the very top, the real guys that run things, the guys that make the 85 who own the world, they own them, okay? Those guys have had a change in thinking, I believe. I think they've seen what we're capable of, that maybe these things, these powers, these otherworldly things that have kept this cycle of violence going forever don't need to be listened to anymore. We're fully capable of becoming, in our own words, our own gods. We can take our own technology, create what we need out of this world, and move on. And I think maybe some of them cling to this old power structure because they are afraid to lose everything, because they've ruled. And I think that there is this shift, even at the very top and especially at the bottom, that people need to be led now. We can't be ruled anymore. It doesn't work. It stifles our innovation. It destroys our potential.
Yeah, and in the process, with all their control mechanism, it destroys our environment. It destroys humanity. It destroys the third world. It exploits them, and we extract all their resources. So I think the world is ready, and that's why you never hear us on this program talking about capitalism or communism and all these kind of things. It's because that's all old thinking kind of things, you know, in my
opinion.
It's
far beyond
that. I think it's all old stuff, and I think we're ready to move on into these brand new ideas that are just, as of right now, are mostly theory. There are people practicing, and we're going to make an effort now to get more people that are practicing this stuff in the real world on this program so we could talk a little more in-depth about this stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, all these old ideas, you know, these old ideas of democracy and all this stuff, and the way that we used to think about it, how we get where we put these congressmen into power and all this stuff, it's all going to be either done away with completely or replaced by technology. And if we get to that point, we got a really bright future, man. But if we get to this point where it's run by autonomous drones and we're run by computers and it's all owned by these 85 guys, then we're in for a big rude awakening. Here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.